Good morning. Good morning. I don't have the choir behind me, so y'all got to help me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome to worship. We're excited to be here. If you can't tell, it's Children's Sunday. They've been playing in the snow, right, all day yesterday, and they're excited to be here to lead us in worship today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. Several things are listed in your bulletin for the schedule. Draw your attention to a couple of things. We are having our walk down for international missions today. If you have those offerings, we invite you to come down during hymn number 107. Thank you. That's the very first hymn that we'll be doing this morning. Also, Miss Judy Edwards has asked me to remind you that the cookies for the jail and prison ministries, they are due on Wednesday. So if you're able to provide those cookies, we'd love to get them by this Wednesday. Thank you for your help with that. Other things are listed there and opportunities for the week. We just encourage you to take a look at those. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple thing that we do. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, when you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be very helpful. And the first person, when that pew pad comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. We're especially excited for our guests that are here. We have ushers that are going to come down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, raise your hand right where you are. The ushers have a gift they would like to give to you. Raise them high. There we go. Inside this packet of information, you'll find our letter from our pastor. You'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. We got more. There's a bunch of people up in the balcony. Hey, balcony. Everybody just about waved, except Christian. He didn't wave. Thank you. Good job. It's exciting to be here this morning. You're going to experience maybe Christmas in a different way. It's a powerful thing that we have opportunity to do, is to be a part of worship as our children lead. As we begin our worship service during Advent, we have the lighting of the Advent wreath. And I invite the Hoosier family, come on up.
I will be reading Isaiah 11, 1 through 6. Out of the stump, David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make decision by hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and the truth like an undergarment. And this day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and the little child will lead them all.
Good job. And from Ephesians 2:14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Candle of peace. Oh, we're going to light the candle of peace.
Please join in our call to worship. I will read the light print. Please join and read aloud the dark print.
Rise, shine, for your light has come.
And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
For darkness shall cover the earth.
But the Lord will rise upon you.
And God's glory will appear over you.
Hope is arriving in the midst of darkness.
We wait for Christ to come again into our lives.
We wait this Advent season for Christ to come in a new way.
We enter this time of worship full of
me, Lord Jesus, light of the world. John told the people to prepare for when you are very near. As Christmas grows closer day by day, help us to be ready to welcome you now. Come into this sanctuary and see us as we worship you. We hope you love every minute of our worship service. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
some of you are asking, wait a minute, I thought we did Parent-Child Dedication Day on Mother's Day. Well, we do. But fortunately, we've got enough babies being born that we do it twice a year when we need to. So we have some parents and some children that we want to dedicate today. And so that's why we celebrate. That's part of the reason why we celebrate today. If you'll see in your order of service there, David and Janie Bass are down on that end. And Lily is standing down here on the floor. And they are holding Thomas. And we want to give you that introduction. And closer to me, Bailey is pointing at somebody. I'm guessing a relative. But hey, Sailor. Sailor is intrigued by what's going on here. So we are delighted that y'all are with us today. We want to go through a time of dedication with you. And as we begin, I want to read to you a couple passages of Scripture that we traditionally read during this service at this time. The first one, and I'll be reading from the Message today because I just kind of like the way they phrase it. So from Psalm 127, it says, "Don't you know that children are God's best gift, the fruit of the womb, His generous legacy? Like a warrior's fistful of arrows are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you parents with your quivers full of children." Your quivers may not be full yet, but that's a challenge for you, I guess. "Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off your doorstep." And then from Mark's gospel, there's an important lesson for all of us, not just parents and children. As it reads, the people brought children to Jesus, hoping that he might touch them. And the disciples shooed them away. But Jesus was irate, and he let them know it. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very tender of life in the kingdom. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands upon them and blessed them. As we get ready to dedicate these children, I want to invite all of you to take the covenant that I have listed here, the covenant of dedication. There are several places here. I'll be reading light italics print. The parents will be reading bold print. And then where it says people, we ask that you join with us, okay? Y'all have your copy here? Yep. We good? Okay. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who bring these children for this holy purpose? What do we affirm about these children? As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage? We will tell them about God who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith, about Moses who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and the mission of the church. What will we hope for in these children? Look to the day when these children will gather with us at the Lord's table, when each one will declare faith in Jesus the Christ, confirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as an adult to choose full commitment to God's will and work. Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for these children?
Yes, we do.
Then may God be with us.
Amen.
We've got Bible, and certificates to present to each of you all. So who will be the holder of the Bible and certificates there for Sailor? And then for Thomas, the same Bible and certificates. Beautiful children, aren't they? Take the photograph now, people. I know. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for these children. We thank you for the joy that we see in their faces. We thank you for the excitement and a little bit of anxiety we see in the faces of the parents. Because, Father, it's a tremendous responsibility. But, Father, it is a joyous privilege as well. And so it's in that spirit that we come together as a congregation to pledge our support not only to these children, but also to the parents, to love and encourage both as we journey together, to help these parents at the times when they critically need it, as well as just when they need a quiet word of encouragement. Father, for these children, we pray that we would be faithful to step up to the task to teach in Sunday school, to teach in choirs, to teach in Mission Friends, to do the things that are necessary as the body of Christ, to teach them about your love. And it's in your Son's precious name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.
And all the preschoolers, y'all come on up. Come on. Come stand right up here. Stand right. Keep coming. Stand right here. Oh, careful. Good job. Good job. Everybody stand up tall. Good job. Good job. I have a question. Come on, Mara. Whoa. I have a question. Can y'all help me answer this question? We've been talking about this in Sunday school this month. And the question I have is, how do we know God loves us? Do you know? God gave us Jesus. God gave us Jesus. So how do we know God loves us? God gave us Jesus. Now that we've learned it, let's say it with conviction. How do we know that God loves us? God gave us Jesus. That's right. Now, we also have a Bible verse. Can you help me with this? We say, God, point up. God, y'all can point with us. Audience participation. God has given a son to us. Isaiah 9:6. God has given a son to us. Isaiah 9:6. It is a special thing to remember. We have a special delivery that's coming, and his name is Jesus. Isn't that great, great news? Good job. Always remember. So how do we know God loves us?
God gave
us Jesus. That's exactly right. Good job. Aren't you glad to know that our young people are being taught wonderful things? Good job. Y'all can go sit back.
Savior.
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 Who is this Savior?
He is our Redeemer.
He's the Lamb of God.
He is our friend.
He is the Son of God.
Why did he come?
She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
He came to save us from our sins.
Why did he come?
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost.
He came to save the lost.
Why did he come?
Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life.
He came so we could have eternal life.
If we believe in him, we will have life in his name.
For the God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life.
He came because he loves us.
Who is this Savior?
Jesus.
My Savior.
Please pray with me.
Father Creator, everything on earth is yours. We have nothing
that can make you richer, for all it comes from you in the first
place. But what we have, we bring, we understand that we live.
Thanks only to you, and that without you, we have nothing and can
do nothing. Father, Redeemer, everything on earth is doubly
yours. Though it belonged to you in the first place, people have
treated it as theirs, refusing to recognize your rights. But you sent
your son to claim what was yours from the beginning, and he
showed the world how much he loved by coming to Bethlehem so
long ago. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
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 Good job.
Thank you. This is the Sunday of peace, a time to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Prince of Peace. So often we quickly turn to the pages of the New Testament when we say the name Jesus, but we should remember that Christ is alive in each and every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is the thread that runs throughout and holds everything together. From the Garden of Eden, our Heavenly Father had a plan. He knew we needed a Savior, so he began to weave a beautiful and intricate story. Let's take a look and follow that thread.
In Genesis,
he's the descendant of Abraham, the sacrificed son.
In Exodus,
he is the deliverer, like Moses.
In Leviticus,
he is the high priest. He is the Messiah who would be king.
In Deuteronomy,
he is our prophet.
In Joshua,
he is the captain of our salvation.
In Judges,
he is the ultimate lawgiver and judge.
In Ruth,
he is our kinsman redeemer.
In 1 and 2 Samuel,
he is the prophet of the Lord. He is the king who will reign forever.
In 1 and 2 Chronicles,
he is the holy temple.
In Ezra,
he is the faithful scribe.
In Nehemiah,
he is the rebuilder of walls of salvation.
In Esther,
he is the caregiver.
Job,
he is the dayspring on high.
In Psalms,
he is our good shepherd.
In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes,
he is the wisdom of God.
In Song of Solomon,
he is the lover of our souls.
In Isaiah,
he is the suffering servant. He is the weeping prophet who gives us hope.
In Ezekiel and Daniel,
he is the Son of Man.
In Hosea,
he is the faithful bridegroom.
In Joel,
he is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit.
He is the bearer of our burdens. He is the mighty Savior. He is our forgiving God. He is the beautiful messenger. He is the avenger of God's elect. He is the great evangelist ready for revival. He is the restorer. He is the cleansing fountain. He is the pierced son. He is the son of righteousness. Sorry about that. In the 39 books of the Old Testament, we see God's plan for our redemption unfolding, and we follow it throughout the life of Jesus in the New Testament. From the Garden of Eden to our gathering before the throne of our Heavenly Father, Jesus is the thread that holds us together. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son so that we could have life, we should be filled with peace, the peace that only comes from knowing Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you want that peace?
Do you want that peace?
It is found when we have a relationship with Jesus. He is the thread that binds God's plan for us together. When the giver of life gave us the gift of his Son, Jesus fulfilled all of God's promises. He is the thread. Please pray with us. Dear Lord, we come to you today with thanks and praise as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Help us to remember that you gave us the greatest gift, the gift of peace, the gift of love, the gift of life that comes through the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So, what have we learned this morning? Jesus is the one who unites Scripture from Old Testament to New Testament. Jesus is the reason that we brought our gifts this morning. Jesus is the very reason for our lives. Jesus is what you taught us this morning. Through your prayers, through your readings, through talking, just by smiling, you remind us that Jesus is why we are here. Scripture reminds us throughout the Old Testament and New Testament how precious children are to God. And in fact, we are reminded we are all His children. No matter how many times you've come to Children's Sunday, this is your first, or you've been here for a long time. Doesn't matter your age, where you come from, who you know, you are God's child. And that is good news, that He sent His Son to show us how much He loves us. That is Christmas. That is what we are preparing for. And you guys have done an amazing job of preparing us for the coming of Jesus. I want to say a very special thank you to all of the leaders. Folks, this just doesn't happen. We have countless volunteers and adults who have worked for months to get songs ready, to get the theme and the message ready. Things like snacks that we need to get the kids ready to practice or ready to get up here. We are thankful for every parent, every volunteer, every choir leader, every Sunday school teacher, every prayer partner. I am thankful to serve with this group of volunteers who work tirelessly to provide an environment for our kids to come up here and lead worship. This just doesn't happen. We are thankful to you guys, to the congregation of College Park. It's easy to get up here when you are giving such amazing smiles back to the children. They feel comfortable because you make them feel comfortable. Folks, this is what church is supposed to look like. This is what it's about. Supporting and loving one another, encouraging one another. This is church. Not because we're in this beautiful building beside these beautiful decorations, but because God's children are in His house worshiping His name. That is Christmas. And you guys did a great job leading us and doing that. we want you to have an opportunity to consider what this message may have done for your heart and for your life. Maybe you haven't seen those connections that God has been making, putting in your life, just like he did from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He has been preparing you for a moment such as this. Maybe you've been reminded that you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe that is your opportunity this morning. Maybe it's an opportunity to be reminded that how important your faith is to you, but you've let it go away. Whatever your decision, there's an opportunity in just a moment for you to come. There's an opportunity. This is a great congregation to join and to serve in. We would love, there are many ways that we welcome members to our church. We'd love to talk with you about that. You see, we have some of the best kids around, and we are excited, and we'd love to partner with you. Whatever your decision might be, there's going to be our hymn. We invite you to come down front. We'll be glad to talk with you. The kids will be here. We'll talk to them after the last prayer. But this is your time to consider what God might be doing in your life. Can we stand and sing? Good job. Y'all just stand where you are.
Good job.
Thanks.
Good job, people.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please don't let us miss you this Christmas season. Help us to simplify our activities and traditions so we can focus our celebration on your birth. Thank you for being the Prince of Peace, and I ask you for the incredible peace to reign in our hearts. Thank you for the simple but life-changing message of your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.